The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please pray with me. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
So, let's hear that psalm again in a slightly different translation. This is a bit closer to what the Hebrew actually says. Shepherd of Israel, hearken. He who drives Joseph like sheep, enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, rouse your might and come to the rescue for us. O God, bring us back. Light up your face, that we may be rescued. Lord God of armies, how long will you smolder against your people's prayer? You have fed them bread of tears and made them to drink triple measure of tears. You have put us in strife with our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. God of armies, bring us back. Light up your face, that we may be rescued. And then we will not fall back from you. Restore us to life, and we shall praise your name. Amen. This is a psalm that was written when the people of God were in serious trouble, as they are fairly frequently throughout the course of events that we are told in Scripture. But at this time, the people of the northern kingdom, those who were living in the north of Israel, were in danger from the massed army of the Assyrians, who were about to sweep down on them like wolves and destroy them. And the king of that time thought that surely his people were going to be wiped out and lost forever. Their economy was in ruins, their state was tottering, and all around them, armies of people who hated them massed. And so this is the prayer that they prayed. Light up your face, O God of armies. Come to the rescue for us. And I think it's a good prayer for us to pray today on the fourth Sunday of Advent, because we too live surrounded by so many threats and in so much uncertainty. And I read you the different translation because I wanted you to hear in every word of that psalm the longing for the rescue and the grace and the glory and the healing of God. Come to us, Lord God of hosts. Light up your face that we may be rescued. Sometimes I think that what it means to be one of the people of God is to live in that longing, longing for God's promises to be fulfilled, for the earth to be covered with the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, for all things to be healed and made well. We are called to long for that with our breath and bone and heart in the very depth of our marrow. The Apostle Paul, who knew something about longing, and we can hear it in his letters in the Romans today, ever since he met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. You remember that story, right? Blinding flash of light, and Paul is blind, and all of a sudden his life changes, turns about. Ever since he met the risen Christ on the road to Damascus, Paul lived the rest of his life in a fever of longing, desperately trying to teach the people of God what it meant that Christ had come to them in flesh as Mary's child and lived among them and then been crucified and raised for them. And his whole conclusion we can catch in just one word of the letters to the Romans today. You may have missed it. It's a very simple word, really. Do you remember what he calls us? He says, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints. We are God's beloved. What a thought that is. That means that just as we long and hope with our blood and our breath and the marrow of our bones for God's rescue, for God's healing, even so fervently God longs for us. It means that when we are calling out, come rescue us, come light up your face that we may be saved, God's face is already lit up and looking back at us and saying, listen, listen, I'm right here. I'm so close to you. I have been driving you like a flock of sheep exactly where I wanted you to go all of your lives. And all things will be well. But sometimes it takes a lot of trust and boldness to see that. The king that the prophet Isaiah tells us about today, Ahaz, is having some trouble with boldness. You caught that. He's the king who's worried that the Assyrians are going to flood down on him any minute now. And God says to him, I will give you a sign that you may trust. Ask me for anything as deep as the bowels of the earth or as high as the heavens, and I will make it happen for you so that you will look. And when you will see that I am God and you will trust me. That's a pretty big gift to be offered by the Lord God of hosts who made the heavens and earth. But what does Ahaz say? That's too much for me. I can't put the Lord my God to the test. It's wrong to ask for a sign. It's wrong. And besides, if I were given a sign, then I might actually have to believe all of this. And I might actually have to trust God. What a thought. But God, who is infinitely patient and infinitely sneaky, as well as infinitely yearning for us, gives Ahaz a sign anyway. The young woman will conceive and bear a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us. And when you see him, you will see my face. Because that is the wonderful thing. We cry out to our Lord, show us the light of your face, and we will be saved. But we have already seen the light of God's face, and we see it every day. We saw it 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem, and we see it in a young man baptized in the Jordan, someone who walked and healed and touched and blessed and traveled all the way to Jerusalem for us, and was crucified, and on the third day rose again, and the light of God's glory streamed from every cell of him. We see the light of God's face whenever we look at Jesus. And so, because we know that God's face is turned towards us, because we know that God yearns for us with a yearning 100 times stronger than our yearning for him, I want to ask you all to do something for me. As you remember all of this, as you go forward into the last few days of Advent and into the 12 days of Christmas, be bold. Be as bold as Joseph was when he decided on the strength of the angel's word, to take Mary as his wife, although she was with child. By any standard, he ought to have put her away. He ought to have divorced her. If he were following the Mosaic law, he ought to have given her over for stoning. But he was bold, for God's power made him so. And he took her as his wife, and he raised the child Jesus as his own foster son. Be bold, as the king Ahaz was not bold. Be bold like the psalmist who cries out to God, "Show us the light of your countenance, and we will be saved." For the rest of this Advent, ask God for what you need. Ask him with all the boldness you are capable of, and trust that he will give it to you. Trust that God is as close to you as your own breath, and everywhere you look, you will see the brightness of his face. Amen.